Blog Talk Radio.
What's up? Sports City. Nah, I can do the Marlins. That was one of my favorite shows growing up, you know, high school era. But welcome back to the wrap up. We're here to kick off the week, get things going right. Now, Sports City, I want y'all to know, right? We only got 8 days left in the month of May before the month of June kicks off and all the summertime stuff pops off. And I mean, we're talking finals here. We're talking the middle of the baseball season. We actually get to talk about Olympic stuff because this is the year of the Olympics in 2016. But slow down, Sports City. We still got stuff right here in the month of May. And Ada took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. Sports City, welcome to this doggone wrap up. Let's go.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, we airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming. Our music keeps you moving, what are you shooting? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. You know the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard him up, the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of, they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Duct taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Cat lays in my way. Francis, M to the is H phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body abdominal. So I can buy a few cars, then I kick a few flows, so I can pick a few holes. Excellence is my present. Never tense, never hesitate. Leave a nigga bent, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action, back done. Ridiculous, and I'm.
Okay, slow down, man. And for people that don't know, I mean, everybody that comes to Sports, they know I'm an avid hip hop fan. You know, I'm an avid Rockefeller fan. I'm an avid Biggie Smalls fan. Shout out to Biggie Smalls, Notorious B.I.G., better known as Christopher Wallace. It was his birthday as of Saturday, May 21st. So out here, if you live here in the East Coast or definitely in the Tri-State area, if you're anywhere near New York or Brooklyn, they play nothing but Biggie everywhere. So it's just that vibe. So I had to get at least one of them this week. I had to get one of them in here this week. You know, because yesterday I couldn't do it with the brunch intro and, you know, the closeout, do it the same way. So I had to get a Biggie song, you know. So shout out to one of my favorite rappers, if not the guy in my life. But let me set this show off right, man. You know, SportsCityChefs.com. Thank you for stopping by with us, man. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs, man. I'm pretty happy, but I'm trying to calm down. Everybody been hitting me up, trying to buzz me. I'm like, listen, just leave me be, man. Leave me be, because karma lives literally in my backyard with a tent and one of those hoverboards. Like just run up on me. So I'm trying to chill. But everybody been hitting me up all yesterday, all day today, so they know why. That's why I'm here in the kitchen. But I got my brother with me calling in out of the Virginia region. We have Tommy Beard in the building. Welcome to the Rap of. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good. I'm just hoping this rain leaves in D.C. so you can get this big series still on the road.
Hey, send it up here. I love the water. I love rain. And, I actually be gone by the weekend, so I don't care what happens. You know, long enough, too catastrophic happen, but send it somewhere. I ain't ready for the summertime heat yet. I'm not. Okay. So, I don't know how to set this off, right? Because I'm trying. It's worth it. If y'all know me, y'all can tell I'm smiling. I'm trying not to. I'm trying not to get too pumped because I didn't want to be in this point in time in the show and have this happen because I really can't predict the future. So it's like now that the time is here, it feels a little better. But I mean, we got a lot to run around, especially what will happen throughout this weekend. Tommy, any topic that you would like to talk about that happened either throughout the weekend or what happened yesterday, or we could jump right into it, the Western Conference game. I mean, we could literally go right into it and all of the hoopla and the backlash that we're hearing from the game that happened yesterday as well.
Well, we can. I mean, I was going back and forth to that in the game in San Francisco last night. That was actually a very good game last night. Let me mention it. If you missed that game in San Francisco last night, that Cubs, the Chicago Cubs and the San Francisco Giants, you missed probably one of the best battles all year. That was a very good, very good ball game. And Bumgarner wasn't even on, and he was still just shutting the Cubs down.
And the crazy part about a Bumgarner game last night, the way that he pitched, he actually won the game for himself. He hit the RBI to win the game. When he puts his head to it, I mean, he gets it done. I mean, the year that they won it, when he won the MVP in that World Series up against the Royals, I called it at the beginning of the season. That March, you could go back to the footage of, what was that, 2014 that was? Yeah, 2014?
Yes, he was a rookie.
You can go back to all of the shows from the past right before the season started. I was saying this, that Madison Bumgarner is going to get this San Francisco team far, potentially the World Series. I will not forget it. I will not forget it. But it was a 1-0 game. I can't take much away from the Cubs. I mean, well, at least the defense and the pitching staff, if you will, because they came and did what they needed to do. I mean, held them to a run, and let alone it was the pitcher that got a hit. Everybody else didn't drive a run in, but at that crucial point in time, Bumgarner made the difference late in the game, too, because it was 0-0 for a while. I mean, it tipped my hat to Bumgarner. It seemed like he's the one that actually ramps this team up at this given point in time in the early portion of the season and as they approach the latter part of the season. But we're nowhere near there. But the Giants are taking care of business right now. Your thoughts on them coming up with a big win up against the league's best Chicago Cubs?
Their record may say they're the league best. That Giants team's good. They had some very good defense behind him, too, last night. San Francisco's going to be a team to deal with. Yes, I know the NL West may be the worst division in baseball. I'll say it now. And I'm not the only one that said it. There's experts out there that said this division is probably the worst in baseball. I said it before the first pitch was even thrown when we did our baseball show. Giants will be the team to win this division. I mean, Jesus, the Dodgers went 17 innings before they actually beat the Padres. And don't even get me started on Yasiel Puig. If the Dodgers want to do anything, they need to trade him, because he is going to be the kryptonite of that outfield. The Giants are going to be the team to beat in that division, and I don't see anybody beating them with any consistency. You may get a game here, a game there, because, I mean, it's baseball. They're not going to go through the whole West and win every game. Just like the Nationals aren't going to win every game in their division. I mean, teams just don't do it. Season's too long. But that Giants team's going to be a team to watch out for in October.
Now, so you don't think the Dodgers are going to turn this around, one, and two, I think you're more or less talking about the Puig situation where he fell asleep while he was in play and almost got tagged out in second. But he did end up making the difference in that game late in that 17th inning, even though I do agree with you, they shouldn't be struggling with the Padres. But at least he did step up late to make up for that almost mistake.
But he's a dynamite waiting to blow up in the outfield. I mean, the Padres had bases loaded and the ball was hit, instead of him making the play, he had to hustle up there, dive for it, and 3-run score. Right, he's not as bad as he used to be, but he's still, I mean, sometimes he's, I'll say it now, he's the reason why Don Mattingly got fired. And I think that was the dumbest thing they ever did was get rid of him.
So with that being said, do you think it's a situation where they get rid of Puig, they get better? Or is it a situation just to get rid of the headache slash cancer and just move on regardless of what offense he brings to the table, what excitement he brings to the park, if he's actually helping fill seats, things of that nature? You know, is that the distraction that you're looking at with Puig? Because I still feel like the Dodgers can make noise this season. I'm not counting them fully out, even though I do agree that if San Francisco keeps playing the ball that they are playing and stay healthy, it'll be tough for one of those teams in the NL West to catch up.
I mean, the Dodgers will make some noise, but if you go, the difference in that division for them, for the Giants, is going to be that pitching staff. That pitching staff from 1 to 5, besides Peavy, because Peavy's, I believe, what, 1 and 5 now, 2 and 4? He's not been pitching well. Everybody else has been pitching very well overall. That pitching staff, you take the Dodgers pitching staff, Kershaw, yeah. Who else, really, that you can really throw in and count on? Not a whole lot.
Right, I feel like if that offense could get rattling, that could keep them in games. That's the one thing I'm looking at. And Puig would actually be a part of that, you know, that lineup, if you will. That could be dangerous amongst any pitcher, especially the left-handers, because there's a lot of left-hander dominant internationally, at least from what I see. So I think that him being a right-handed batter can make a difference at that plate. But it, you know, depends on if they do stick with him being a young talent, and could possibly get more by moving him and bringing, you know, a piece or two back, or, you know, sticking with him while he's, you know, nearing his prime. Like, he's not even at his prime yet. So that's the one thing that I look at before they get rid of some guys, including Puig. I mean, you got to take the good with the bad. At least that's how I see it. That's how I see it. And, you know, I can't be wrong.
I mean, I do like the young center fielder they got out there in center field, Jock Peterson. He's going to be a talent. Very good, very good.
Okay, anything else, whether it's in the NL West or another game that happens throughout the league in the MLB that you like to discuss?
I mean, you got a doubleheader in Cleveland with the White Sox in Cleveland tonight. They're actually, the last time I seen the score, Cleveland was winning. Or no, the White Sox were winning. I mean, that is a very interesting series. Very interesting. With it being, what, 1.5, 2.5? I mean, White Sox are starting to come back to earth. And Cleveland's playing well. Your Twins are playing, big series this early this week with Kansas City. I mean, that division could turn around very quickly.
Don't even talk about the Twins. They can't do nothing. Boy, please. Like, that's a whole nother discussion. Look, I look at it like this. We can either talk about the Phillies, how they did work with Atlanta yesterday. We can talk about the Red Sox and how Bradley is continuing his streak, and Poppy had a big game as well. And your boys, I mean, Scherzer actually did work yesterday too up against the Marlins. I mean, there are topics there, if you like.
What, you don't want to talk about Central?
I mean, we can talk about the AL Central. We can talk about the whole entire AL Central. That division is tough except one team, and the one team that's not tough is the team I love with my heart. Like, so, I mean, we can talk about every last one of them. We can talk about Cleveland.
I mean, I don't want to brag up Scherzer because it seems like every time I brag up this Nationals team, something comes wrong. Like you say, karma's living right around the corner. Well, we're in a big series. This is a big week for us. Got the Mets for three. You got St. Louis coming in for four. And Scherzer's pitching in that series against St. Louis. I kind of want to leave that one on the back burner.
Hey, okay, fine. I'm with you. I don't blame you. I salute you. Welcome to the club. Not only am I a client, I am also the president of them. I don't blame him one bit. Okay, how about the situation with the Phillies and how at the beginning of the season, including myself, I won't put people out there, but we're saying that the Phillies probably wouldn't be, in the hunt, probably be a rebuilding season. These guys are not playing around. They are to be reckoned with in the NL East as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing well. Philadelphia is playing, better than what I thought they would. I figured they'd be like this maybe next year. I thought maybe late August, middle of September, they start playing like this because they were a young ball club. And maybe they could run that momentum out to next year. Wrong. I was completely, completely wrong without this ball club.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can they keep it rolling, or do they actually come back to earth? Time will tell. I mean, they're playing well now.
I don't know, because I don't want to talk junk about them and say they'll come back to earth and they stay hot. Because I was actually looking at the Phillies like I was looking at the Rockies this year and saying that. And a lot of people, a lot of analysts across the country were saying the same thing about both of these teams, and everybody's being wrong. Man, you can't really count the fight of the dog out. But, and I can't really talk too much about their win because Atlanta's been struggling this year. Atlanta and the Twins, the Braves and the Twins are basically in the same discussion on how bad that they're out of the gate. So it's like I really can't peg too much of it. But they came up with a 5-0 shutout up against the Braves, in which the Phillies are staying afloat, trying to keep up with the Nationals and the Mets at the top portion of the division. So that was one thing I did.
Yeah, Atlanta traded all their top talent. Atlanta did the same thing that Bobby Cox and him did in the late. Or no, it was the early. No, it was the late '80s when they traded all that top talent, and they brought in a young Tommy Glavine, a John Smoltz, a Ron Gant, all of them. And what happened? They turned around, and ran off so many titles in the '90s.
Right.
Now, does it happen for them again? I don't know, because the division they're in now is good. The Mets have got a pitching staff. Nationals are loaded. Philadelphia's coming back. I mean, if the Braves can try, if it can come out, I can't say. There's not going to be pitchers. How many people, that are as good as Tom Glavine was? John Smoltz, Greg Maddux. I mean, I grew up hating that team, Atlanta team. I love watching this sit now, but it worries me because they've been down this road before and turned it around.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be very tough for them to get a staff like that again, but just like you said, time will tell if that does come around for them to get at least three or four guys in that rotation. People start mowing people down. That is a tall task, and see what the front office can do, especially for the Braves. But looking at what the Phillies have been able to do, definitely making it interesting. This is something that we talked about in and out of the show. You didn't want to see the Phillies continue to go on the run that they're on because they actually are in the rear view of your guys. So, of course, anybody that's a fan of a certain team, they want to keep winning and hope everybody around them keep losing so they can have some leeway moving through some of these games throughout the season. But it is becoming pretty much interesting in the NL East, and who would have thunk, some of the names being in position to set up to try and steal the division as well.
What I'm afraid of is this division is so good. Whoever, I'm saying the Nationals win this division, we could. The Mets could. What I'm worried about is if we put – we're in a dogfight. We're not going to run away with this division. It's going to be close with the Mets. If we run away, I'll be shocked. What I'm worried about is we get into the playoffs and then it's – we're just exhausted from playing the Phillies, playing the Marlins, playing the Mets. I mean, because – the Cubs will be in the playoffs. I think the Cubs run away with that division there. I really do. And I believe the Giants run away. So maybe that'll help whoever wins the East for playing relevant baseball, like it's going to Penguins right now in the NHL.
Well, speaking of which, I mean, would you like to go there? I mean, we could pick right up right there. I think I'm safe to say this. In these conference finals, in both Western and Eastern, there is no such thing as home nothing advantage. Whether it's home field or home ice or home rink or whatever you want to do, nobody's safe at home. In which Tampa went on the road and stole a goal late up against the Penguins to get this lead 3-2 in this conference final. I mean... What can you say about Tampa Bay in the same scenario as they were last year, made the finals, the Stanley Cup finals, in which I had to watch the Rangers basically fold under pressure. But can Tampa get this job done, getting past a Penguin team that notably has stars there to get the job done, but, you know, a hit or miss on a year-by-year basis on bringing a ring back home?
I'm shocked. I turned it over, and I seen where Pittsburgh had a 2-0 lead. I turned it off. I said, well, this is over. Then I get up scoring, and I see where Tampa won. I was like, wait a minute, what?
Right.
I thought Pittsburgh would win it. You know what? I'm flipping. And I hope I don't jinx you, Lightning. God, I hope I don't jinx you. I think Tampa ends it. What is tomorrow? I think they play again. I think Tampa goes down home and they win it. They finish it.
Interesting stuff. But who's to say Pittsburgh can't go into Tampa and make it happen? But true enough. I mean, they were down 2-0 midway through the second period. At the end of the second period is where they tied the score up. Tampa got back into this and were fighting all through the third with the tie score. Ended up notched up at 3, and then they went to overtime, and that's when the job got settled by this Lightning team. But I tip my hat for them up against a very good, you know, quality Penguin team at the, you know, still now, I can't even say at the given time. Right now, they're still quality, but, you know, getting over the hump is a big question for this Penguin team.
This Penguins team, I've noticed, they relax. When they get a lead, they don't play with the same as they did. Like they did against my Capitals when they finished them off. They had a 3-0 gold lead in the second period. Because remember, I texted you, Todd, and I said, the DC curse has continued. This is over.
Right.
And
if
we come back and score 3 goals in the third period, I'm thinking, oh, okay. But then, of course, we go in and play like if we had a. Then DC came back and the Caps just came back and they played relaxed like they did the first two periods. So, I mean, these playoffs have been crazy so far.
And we got another big game tonight with San Jose and St. Louis going at it, man. So we'll see who actually ends up gets the lead in that situation, as they're locked up at 2-2. Okay, so I'm not going to sit any longer. You know, I'm trying, sports city. I'm fishing. I'm trying to feed Tommy. I really want Tommy to eat, man, but Tommy's leaving me no choice, so I have to cook and eat right now. I have to. So in which Game 3 sets off in the Western Conference Finals with the Golden State Warriors visiting the Oklahoma City Thunder. In the early portions of the game, this was actually close. At one point in the early portion of the game, the Thunder had extended the lead to double digits, and you know, Curry and the Warriors fought their way back to actually get this lead, to actually take the lead. They actually went up by one, and the Thunder never looked back. I don't know if we give pressure to Billy Donovan or the players on the team knowing what was at hand at the given time, but they actually had over 100 points in the third quarter. They actually were up 41 points on this Warrior team. Now, I'm going to keep it 100% with everybody that's listening to my voice, checking us out, downloading the show, this, that, and the third. I am not hyped over that game. I'm not hyped over the win or how bad they beat the Warriors. I am more worried about game four than ever before. You got Draymond talking junk, calling Russ out, and they know what to do to Russ. Talk to him. As soon as Russ started getting involved in the game in other ways, it's like he kind of won the battle already. So, he has to be smart in that respect as well. If so, I feel like the Thunder's chances are great. But if they get caught, you know, talking junk or in a run while the other team's on a 7-0 run and things of that nature, that's the one thing I'm worried about, because the Warriors can score whenever they want, how they want. They could throw up three threes in under a minute and have your team sweating a lead out late in the game. So with that being said, Tommy, your thoughts on the game and how things panned out for, the the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Golden State Warriors. I'm sorry, people.
Wow. I guess KD and that point guard, Russell Westbrook, that should have been the MVP. Yeah, I'm going to say it. Y'all need to put some respect on that name, because Russell Westbrook showed why he should have been the MVP. I'll say his name again for people that didn't hear me that don't want to say his name. Russell Westbrook should have been the MVP, and he showed it last night. Why? I think that was this is why I should have been the MVP, and I'm going to show you why. Because he went out and balled, and so did in KD. So, I'm not saying anything bad. Wow. I can really admit I did watch much of this when I turned it over and I seen it was a blowout. I said, well, I'm going to watch the good game, because I kept following it to see if it got any closer, and it didn't. It just got bigger and bigger and bigger. But my goodness. Game 5 may be very, very – or game 3. Or no, that was 3. Game 4, sorry.
Yeah.
May be very interesting, because if – wow.
This is the crazy part about game 4. This is a must-win for both of them. For both of them. The Warriors don't want to go down 3-1, even though that they can play that type of basketball where they can win 3 games straight. And the Thunder don't want to sit up here and go back to the Oracle tied with the advantage that they still have in their hands right now. I hate to kind of, like, pat myself on the back or say I told you so, or I know my team or my players or this, that, and the third. As long as Russell Westbrook stays out of the eye of the referee, not getting caught up talking back to them or questioning a foul call, things of that nature, it is going to be very tough for Golden State to deal with him. If he's not in foul trouble or, getting talked to by the ref, and the ref is talking to him out of his game, if Russ gets to play, carefree basketball and play that type of basketball, let me tell you something that I'm going to add on to what Tommy just said about the MVP stuff. I want people to look at it like this, too. I want you to look at it like this, which I know things could probably change in the next 3 games or next 3 or 4 games, so what? But I'm going to say it like this. In the first 3 games of play in this Western Conference Final, which point guard has outplayed which point guard?
Russ has outplayed Steph.
Steph has had one good game, which was in Game 2. Where he scored, 17 points in the third? Russ went off for 19 points in the third quarter in that first game in the Oracle and helped take the advantage. And then in game 3, something that I thought that Russell could not do any longer in the playoffs. I did not think Russell could do this at all. And I know people are knowing where I'm about to go, but I'm going to do it anyway. I did not think that Russell Westbrook can get another triple-double again. I thought it was over. because his numbers, the numbers are good if he gets a triple-double. I think the Thunder are actually unbeaten if he gets a triple-double. But I'm like, all of the strong guard that he's going to go up against, you know, if they get out of this series, he'll end up with Kyrie or Kyle Lowry, depending on how everything goes tonight. But more than likely it'll be Kyrie if they do get out of this. But he has Steph right now. He had to deal with D. Williams and Raymond Felton before D. Williams actually hurt himself, had to deal with Tony Parker. I was thinking that Russ can't get caught up trying to go down there and rebound because all of the guards that he's dealing with are scoring guards. Russell was two rebounds away from a triple-double and sat out, like, all of the fourth quarter. All of it. All of it. This is something that I actually like, or I dislike, but I like what the Warriors are trying to do. You know, in spite of that kick situation with Draymond Green and Steven Adams, now that they have Russell tied in the discussion, now it's a back and forth between reporters, Draymond, reporters, and Russell, and now they're building up a little fire in that. It's like, I don't want Russell to even get involved because now it's like they got him hooked and they get a way to get inside Russell's head. And so when he starts to play, does he play the team basketball that he played yesterday or in game one and help this team win, or does he get caught up in the storm and watch this team lose to a desperate Warrior team at this point in time? I mean, they're great. They're the defending champs. They just broke an NBA record of winning 73 games in a season, but I don't think anybody on that roster could defend Russell Westbrook. I could care less if it's Clay, and they talk about the turnover number. Clay can't DM because he got to the rim a couple of times on Clay. Iguodala, please. Harrison Barnes, okay, you could try. Like stop. Like, I don't think so. If Russ doesn't get caught offensive foul or discussing calls with referees, it could be a long situation for Golden State. But I know it's hard because that's the animosity that Russ brings to the game. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I think this is actually some type of getaway to get back at Russ to help Curry out in a sense, you know. So your thoughts on what I touched on, which point guard is playing better ball, or looking at KD. KD went off for a 33-point night. They like to say the others. There were others on this team that actually stepped up big. The crazy part about this, and knowing how crazy the Warriors have played ball this year, the Thunder were up by 41 points at one time in this game. Now, I know they have Klay Thompson. I know they have Steph Curry. I know they have Draymond Green. The Thunder were up damn near 50 points on this team. Damn near? Like, what? Like, now I'm in a situation where I was actually painting the picture, like saying, well, the Warriors are going to change their game plan, but the Thunder need to do this. If the Thunder play how they played last night, don't change nothing. Warriors don't change nothing because it helped work. It just whose style of play is better? This is really the get your popcorn ready series. So I think to me everything is based around Game 4 in OKC and seeing how the Warriors respond after taking a big loss in Game 3.
Russ just needs to play Russ ball. Don't let Green run his mouth. Didn't Dallas try this same shit when they started running their mouths and Cuban started this and it didn't work? So, I mean, let me ask you something first, huh? Do you believe Green should be suspended or fined with that kick?
Ah, you went to the freaking critical stuff. The critical question came out. I was trying my best to talk about this series and this game without even touching it. I tried. I really tried. Oh, man. Wow.
Do you really think he did that on purpose? Like, he actually really knew what he was doing?
I'm going to tell you the truth. Right now, I don't want him suspended. I do not want Draymond suspended because I want the Thunder to earn this. I don't want to hear people say, oh, if the Thunder win, well, Draymond sat out a game. I don't want to hear that. You know what I'm saying? I want to play them at full strength and make the Thunder earn their way to the finals. But 100%, Draymond Green did that kick on purpose. 100%.
See, that's what I thought. And I saw it this morning. No, I see it last night. When people, it blew up Twitter and Facebook. I didn't see it, like I said, I didn't see it live. But I said, wait a minute. Did he really do that on purpose? I said, I've got to see this on TV to get a better view of this on TV.
There's three
factors. If I've seen it on TV, it looks like he lined up and played Dominic Sue and did that shit on purpose.
There's three factors to this that make me think that he did this on purpose, okay? One, when Draymond came to the paint, Stephen Adams was playing decent defense in front of him, and then he fouled him, right? The ref called the foul. The ball flails to the left side of to Draymond's left to Stephen Adams' right. The ball is gone, in which Draymond is swaying to his left side of his body. When he notices the ball is gone, he does the act like he's jumping to take a jumper, and then he kicks. Now, I'm going to take one from Brent Barry, you know, analyst on NBA TV. He said the NBA need to investigate this because when he did the jump and the kick, it's not like he did the jump kick and, like, try to shoot the ball. He jumped and was looking square at Adams' crotch. He knew where he was. He knew exactly where he was to make that happen. And this is the second time he kicked the same guy in his private area. So this is why I look at it like there was intent by Draymond Green. I don't know if they'll suspend him or not. I don't want to suspend it. I want the Thunder to earn it completely if this is their year or not. Because I don't want to hear people say, oh, well, you guys got there by luck and Draymond's kick got you guys there. No. Because I really feel like if they sent Draymond – I feel like the Warriors might play better ball because they'll be inspired to win it for Draymond. I don't want that. I don't want it like that. I don't want to sit up here and lose a game and see them win without Draymond. Then they go back to Golden State and get hot as ever. You know what I'm saying? So I clearly feel like he did that on purpose, but I'd rather see him play. But that's a great question on how that's thrown out there. But knowing that Draymond is now – going at a real word with Russell Westbrook because Russell Westbrook was saying that there was intent there and he was like, well, Russell's an actor too, so on and so forth. Like, now they got these two going back and forth and it's kind of like the trap to get at least KD or Russell caught in a situation of going back and forth with one of the others. You know, so I do agree, or I don't know if you do agree or not, but I do say that he did mean to do that kick. And plus, he didn't even jump. Listen to this. When he did that jumper, I'm like, okay, now here goes another scenario. He's 3 feet away from the rim. Why are you shooting a jump shot? He's flaring like it's a jump shot, right? He's 3 feet away from the rim. And he didn't even jump high. Draymond Green didn't even jump high for his leg to get that high. He sold it throwing his leg up in the air like that. Like, he didn't even, if you watch how high jump Draymond jumped literally like 2 inches off the ground. He literally kicked in the air, literally.
I say he did it on purpose.
Right.
Tomorrow night's game is going to be very interesting in so many ways. With them talking trash to Russ, trying to get Russ out of his game, with this kick, how's the officiating? I mean, there is so much. I normally don't ask for rain. I hope the Mets and Nationals games get rained out, so I can sit down and watch this game and not have to play the back and forth. I mean, it's going to be very interesting, the game four.
Now the question is, where do Steph and Klay go? You know what I'm saying? They didn't have the game that they would like. Even though they still had their imprint in the game, even though Draymond didn't score well, I am worried about their offensive power waking up, knowing that this is desperate zone for this Warriors team. But the Warriors do not want to go back home down 3-1. Even though it'll favor them to win game five, I don't think they would want to see that type of hole moving forward. I don't. As much as Steph has been shooting the crap out of the ball, or looking at Klay being they say that he has a better stroke than Steph, you know, outside of what Steph creates, you know, this could be big. This could be very big for both of these teams.
I picked OKC to win this, and I said yesterday, whoever won this game, game three, was going to win the series. I still believe that.
Sports City. I'm not following him. I'm just here to eat. I'm just here to eat. I'm not jumping into that. I'm nervous. Yes, I'm nervous, Nancy. Yes, I'm nervous. I'm nervous. I don't want.
I'm still saying it goes six.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. Now, interesting situation, similar situation to that, what's going on in Oklahoma City and with the Golden State Warriors. In this matchup tonight, which will be taking place in just a few minutes, where the Raptors are hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, here goes the crazy part about it, right? You have a situation where the Raptors are up big in this game. They put in a bruiser in Dante Jones, and boy, do I remember Dante Jones. I couldn't stand him when he came out of high school. We're the same exact age. He went to Duke University. He never really had a spark to his career, but he was NBA potential, so he's been on roster after roster. At the end of the game, after the game that Bismack Biyombo had, he comes in there and hits him square in the Johnson and then throws an elbow after it, kind of like, you know, yeah, I did it kind of situation. They suspend him for a game. Now, this is the one thing that bothers me, because Dante Jones don't get no doggone play. That dude is a Cleveland Cavaliers cheerleader. He's sitting at the end of the bench. He's calling like the victory. Yes.
Not to cut you off, we got breaking news with Green. His foul was upgraded to flagrant 2. He was fined, no suspension.
Okay, good. Okay, good. I don't want to see him suspended. Like I said, I want us to play and have that game be played out. I don't want it to be a situation where he's suspended and, you know, just say, for instance, the Thunder win. Or not even. I'll paint the picture if Golden State comes out and plays inspired. I don't want to see Golden State have Steph go up for a 40-point night because one of their leaders is not on the floor. I want him there. I want the Thunder to play that type of game, him jawing, talking junk, this, that, and the third. But, you know,
he was fined $25K.
Wow. I don't know what to say, man. Like I said, I feel like there was intent there after, all night long they showing replays of it, and just watching him, like, when he lifts his leg up, he's literally an inch off the floor. So for him to get his leg up like that, he would actually either, A, have to jump that high, or B, kick his leg as hard as he wanted to. And the ball was gone. There was no need for him to sell it, and the ref already blew the whistle.
Sorry to cut you off. I figured I'd seen that. I just...
Okay.
You go back to the and talk about the Cleveland series.
That's cool. So in which... Dante Jones pulled his shenanigans, and he's suspended and out for a game. Now, that doesn't hurt Cleveland because he don't get play anyway. It ain't even like he's the backup to the backup two guard. Like, he was sitting there waiting to get garbage time in the postseason and did that bull crap. So your thoughts on LeBron James kind of fighting back for Dante Jones, telling Dante that he'll cover the fine, and he's coming up with some personal agenda play for this game up against Toronto tonight. He's taking this personal up against the Raptors.
You know, it's hard. I mean, you got LeBron sitting around. You got everybody posting King Burger King and selling floppers and he's trying to pick up a foul on Toronto when I actually thought, wow, it's hard. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on that the NBA that we grew up wouldn't have happened. I mean, the thing we were just talking about with Green, he's very lucky he didn't play back when the NBA when we were little, because he probably would have walking off the floor, especially with the Bad Boys. This series comes down to, do I think Toronto wins it? No, I really don't. I think this series could be over Thursday, Friday, whenever the game, the next game in Cleveland is. I think Cleveland runs them off the floor tonight, unless the officiating keeps it close. Then
what if Toronto plays that type of game where they keep them in the game and could possibly run them off the floor again? In which they said Valiant Tunis was actually in shoot around today. I don't know if he'll play because they tried to say doubtful, but he was in shoot around before the game.
Yeah, but he hasn't played in a while. Me and you play ball, Ty. You twist that ankle and do something with that ankle, then it's hard. It takes a while. You play hesitant because you don't trust it. You know, I mean, I've been there. I rolled it and tore my ankles all up in everything. It'll be interesting to see if he can play and play.
Efficiently.
He can play well enough to help them rebound and score some points. It may be.
This is going to be very interesting. I hope Valiant Tunis is able to give it a go because if you think about it, who in the post plays defense for the Cavaliers? Who? Don't say Kevin Love. Tristan Thompson only grabs rebounds. He's not a great defender. He could approach shots and try to block shots, which, you know, all he is jumping around the rim. I don't find him as a great defender in the paint. So this will actually help them if they can get Valiant Tunis out there on the floor. And that's another six fouls on the floor if Biombo is, you know, tired. You see what I'm saying? Because Biombo is, you know, doing a lot of heavy lifting right now. And Biombo was a star outside of DeRozan. I mean, DeRozan almost scored 40 on Cleveland. Biombo had 26 rebounds, and then the bullcrap happened. You know what I'm saying? So this is extremely up in the air, especially if Valiant Tunis is added to the situation, which I feel like LeBron saying him taking it personal, it could only be him trying to attack and, pick up, draw fouls from the other team. If he can do that, then Toronto's in an uphill battle. But if they can keep LeBron out of the paint and defend the perimeter, I feel like this is anybody's game. This could be anybody's game, but if I were to put my money on it, I would be with Tommy Beard going with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I feel like Cleveland is ready to, redeem themselves while Kyrie only had 13 points, missed so many shots. Kevin Love only had 3 points in the game. It was a three-point shot in the third quarter after halftime. As soon as halftime ended, they came out there, he shot a three, hit it. That was all Kevin Love did. For $110 million? $110 million, and you giving me 3 points? You better go out there and shoot the hell out of the damn ball. The hell out of the damn ball. You, him and Tristan Thompson together are a total of $200 million, people, on one roster. Think about it. He gave him 3 points? Are you kidding me? No way, no how. Look. So, like I said, I feel like Cleveland will come out inspired. But if Toronto could defend that paint and stop them from launching threes, this could be anybody's game. This could be anybody's game in game four. Okay, Tommy, do you have a topic that you would like to address or build off of this situation, or do you want to pick a winner in the San Jose St. Louis game? In the Western Conference Final, where they're both tied up at 2-2 as well, the Sharks and the Blues.
Yeah, I'll pick that here. I just see where here we go again. Tom Brady sends down, he appeals the 4-game suspension with the second Clark Supreme Court or whatever it is. Are we serious going to go through this all over again?
You are the best. You are so funny. This is the crazy part.
Listen.
Brady's going to end up winning. Again. Brady's going to end up winning that again. Because
yeah, and then the NFL will appeal that. Will this ever come to an end?
No, until Brady retires. This is going to go as long as Brady's injury report on the injury list. Since 2001, Brady's been on the injury list with a shoulder injury. You know that, right? Every single game he's on the list, doubtful with a shoulder injury. You know that, right?
Yeah.
This is going to continue just like that every single year until Brady says, you know what, I'm hanging him up. Because Brady's not playing for money. I want everybody to know that Brady is not playing for no damn contract. Because everything, including, and I would beg for him in a heartbeat over Stafford. If it was Stafford or Tom Brady, please, keep Matt. Keep him. Take him. Take him in a heartbeat. Shit, you think a team would sit up here and say, no, Brady, are you kidding? Brady ain't playing for money. Brady playing for a legacy. There's a difference. And right now, with him potentially missing the first four games of the season, with or without this appeal, still favored to win the Super Bowl, people. To win, not to make the Super Bowl, to win it. To win it. So this is how bad Brady is, man. Like when they made that Super Bowl against Seattle and won it, even though I really feel like Seattle should have won that Super Bowl, because there's no way we're going to be at the 6-inch mark and you're not giving Marshawn. Talking about, oh, well, short yardage, Marshawn ain't good. Yeah, okay. Well, just prove it to me. Prove it to me. Yeah, we got a first down. Show me that Marshawn can't get a yard. Just show me, please. But anyway, once Brady got there again and won his fourth Super Bowl, been there six times, no other quarterback's been there six times. Six? And he could potentially get there again this year for a seventh? The baddest quarterback ever, man. Much as I didn't like him in the early portion of his career, now it's like I give up. Like, go ahead, Tom. They could say Peyton all they want. They could throw Marino name up in there. They could put whoever name up there that they want. Tom Brady is that dude, man. Tom Brady taking on the NFL like he's an exec. Tom Brady takes them on like he's Robert Kraft. Like Robert Kraft said, yo, whenever they say something about money, you just let me know and I'll throw up a billion for you. Because that's what the hell it looked like. The hell it looks like. He goes at them like that. Like, come on. Brady is that dude. and he's tough because I'm not a Patriot fan, but I respect him. I do respect him. Your thoughts on this? I mean, I know you said, will this ever end? Will they just stop and either, you know, let him get suspended for the four games or just stop and just leave it all alone because Brady got the best lawyers in America and Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick backing him? Like, your thoughts on that?
It's ridiculous. Point blank ridiculous that this has gone on for now 2 years now, 3 years, and could keep going on until he retires. It's ridiculous. The courts need to stop giving appeals and make a decision and say, that's it, no more. It's over. You sit for four games, you pay your consequences. Because no one's going to tell me he did not know that the footballs were deflated. I'm sorry. There ain't nobody in this world.
Tommy, let me ask you a question, though, Tommy. And I hate to sound like I'm being biased, right? I hate to sound like it, but I am being biased, right? The percentage of the air that was out of the ball was like 0.2 or 0.3, right? So it's still at the frame of the ball is still tight, but it you know, has a grip to it, right? Do you think if that ball was fully inflated that the Colts would have won that game?
I don't know. You look at the first half when the footballs were supposedly plated all the way. His numbers
were No. The first half is when they were deflated. The score was 7-0 when they found out. So after halftime, when they found out they switched the balls, you know what the final score was, right?
Yeah, it was a blowout.
44-7. Listen, even two of the safeties from the Colts said, I could give a damn about air being in and out of the ball. He kicked our ass. Listen, that's what the safety said from the Colts. The Colts said that. They were even saying there was nothing we could do.
I was thinking the Baltimore game, the playoff game before.
Y'all was legit. The ball was legit with y'all. With the Ravens, the balls are legit. It was the game with the Colts that got caught.
I don't know, because if you listen to Jim Harbaugh and everything else, he said that it looked that he thinks they were. He played it back then, too. Because in the first half, Brady wasn't doing well. And in the second half, I think everything comes out that he's chucking it here and chucking it there and doing this. I'm sorry. He knew the balls were deflated. Why he keeps going like this beats me.
Do you think Brady can't make these throws, though, Tommy, with a fully inflated ball?
It's just ridiculous.
Do you think he'll be struggling if the balls were fully inflated?
It's hard to say.
The only way you're going to beat Brady is with a good front four. If your front four can get through his offensive line, you can beat him. Other than that, if those offensive linemen are standing your defensive linemen up, I don't give a hell what type of ball he's playing with. I don't care what he got. He can play with a volleyball, damn man. He's going to hit these dudes, man. He's going to hit them. We got it's coming to June. So we got like 2 months before we get to start talking football. Keep going 2016. You do your thing, 2016. Football season is coming. It is coming. All right, well, we are at the tail end of the show. I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down and get ready for this Eastern Conference final with Cleveland visiting Toronto.
Yeah, good show. Hopefully we can get in here tomorrow. You can watch that Eastern Conference. I'm watching the Mets and Nationals. So you let me know how that game goes out to the East. I'm watching a good game out on here in the DMV. I'll pick St. Louis to win tonight. Don't ask me why. I may even check in on that before I check on that NBA game. Good show. Hopefully we can get in. I'll get a little teaser for tomorrow. Hopefully we can get Nacho in. Reports are Dana White was talking about a rematch of Connor and Diaz at UFC 202. That'd be nice if that actually happens. But your boy also told you on Sports City it wasn't going to be 200. He blew his shot.
When is 202 going to be? Do you know what month that falls in?
Let's see, 200. We'll see,
in
200
July.
In July.
Right.
So probably October, maybe.
Okay. I'm hoping
you may have to take an early birthday out to Vegas.
No. We do it right. We do it right there on that day. Conor McGregor had Vegas popping last December. Do it again. I'm being selfish. But I'm trying to see if I can get Tommy out there. So if that's the case, he can really see the bright lights, man. I'm going kicking with my brother.
Get me out there. I may be getting divorced.
Oh, stop.
You put me out there in Vegas?
Karen, don't kill me. I'm just joking around.
Dude, I want to go to Vegas out there. But there's only one problem. I don't fly, so we're going to be driving.
You're going to fly today. I know that much. You will be flying today. Ain't nobody. There's a five-day drive from the East Coast to damn Vegas. Boy, you crazy?
Hey, I'll make some stops in St. Louis and Texas, and who knows where. Hell, I may make a pit stop at Nacho's house.
No, you probably be fine in St. Louis, but Missouri is not the place to be. As you know, what's been happening in the past 2 years out there. So,
True.
You know, I do want to try to.
Don't want me out there. I may not make it to Vegas.
Right. Now he changes up everything. He told me, Sparky, you see what I deal with this dude? You see, I'm trying to help him have fun. Karen, don't listen to me. PlayStationChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the vlogs. The chef will be back tomorrow with the cookout. The grill will be wide open. I'll be back on Nervous Central for real. And we'll be talking about who wins this game tonight or both of these games. And you know what? For, you know, Stanley Cup or Western Conference Finals purposes, I'm going to go with San Jose. And the reason why, a contributor to Sports City, my brother and my friend, Jeff Wandler, passed away this January, and he was a L.A. King guy. But he's telling me about everything out there in California. So this is for you, Jeff. Happy birthday from me and Sports City. I'm going with a Cali team today. I'm going with San Jose, the Sharks. Just because of you, Jeff. I know you didn't really support the Sharks like that, but he was a Cali guy. I'm doing Cali for you, man. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
One. One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you doing? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard about the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Duct taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Cat lays in my way, Francis, M to the Israel.